This is RSVP Update, episode 633, recorded Friday, August 25th, 2017, the Jagex Plumbing Service. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. The RR Man is back with me this week, as he has been for the beginning of August so far.
Good to be here for my last show, I suppose.
No, you're actually here for another week after this.
Am I? I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, because you know, next week is all August except for Friday, September 1st. So,
all right, deal.
So you are here for one more week.
All right.
But also joining us this week is Tanis, who did the Menopause Month, dreaded or much over or much hyped, depending on how you look at things. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you. Hold your applause.
The reason you're here is because we're doing another one of our Deja Vu specials. We are having another look at Shattered Worlds this week, among other things. Shattered Worlds finally got its rebalance. But in addition to that, we'll also be looking at patch notes, the Q&A stream from this week, some polls, and the future of mining and smithing. So a very forward-looking episode of RSBNB Update, I think. So are you guys ready to dive right into Shattered Worlds and the changes that were made for that minigame?
Yeah, man.
Yep, so, I'm excited. Let's find out if we can call it finished.
Yeah, so you guys will recall that Shattered Worlds was really, really painful. I forget how many hours it was clocked in at, but you need to get 63 million anima to unlock one of the combat abilities, for example. And, oh boy, people spent countless hours there, many, many hours there. And it just was not a fun experience or something that actually felt rewarding for people who were playing the mini game there. So as a result, of course, the community had been talking about this since release, but given schedule and Menopause and whatnot, it did take a good amount of time to get this into place. And what ultimately ended up happening is that we got a bit of an anima rebalance this week. So the headlining part of this update is that World 71 and above now reward 29 to 37 million plus anima per hour, depending on your personal combat capacities and other factors in Shattered Worlds. So 29 million to 37 million plus per hour, and given the fact that the combat abilities cost around 63 million anima, that effectively means that you can get one of these in about 2 hours if you're at World 71 or above, which I think is a fair amount of time for people to ask to spend on this, because not everyone wants to spend 18 hours playing RuneScape and killing mundane things in Shattered Worlds, because I mean they are kind of mundane when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, until you start to get up there, and even then, they're still mundane, as they're just harder to kill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a massive increase.
Yeah, as an example, the first set of floors when you first started it, you know, each creature would only give around 6 anima, but now that's upwards around 60, so it's been multiplied by a factor of 10 on some of these floors. They've also upped the amount of XP you get for completing a floor for the first time. So it's once you reach, say, around floor level 30, you're getting around 100k XP for completing floors for the first time, 100k anima rather, for the first time you complete a floor. They've also updated the amount awarded for completing challenges. So a bronze challenge will give you 250,000, silver will give you 1 million anima, and the gold challenges will give 7.5 million anima here. So as you can see, massively upped XP rates, or sorry, anima rates in Shattered Worlds. This first started being talked about, I think, you know, I want to say in the summer of 2016. So we're a year after when it was supposed to come out, and obviously the polish has been put onto it. And I think we're now at a point, at least in my opinion, where it feels as though it is a complete update. What do you guys think based on what we saw this week?
You want to go ahead, RR man?
Yeah. This is crazy, though. If it only takes 3 hours now instead of 15, did you say, Shane? Also,
yeah, I think that would. Yeah, if you're at floor 71,
this makes me want to go back because a couple of those things are actually quite good rewards. Right. It's just they would not worth the time at all.
Yeah, and I mean
before.
I mean if you're wanting another way of looking at it, I went to about floor 20 in the first run because it was just too slow. And I mean, I didn't want to invest that kind of time on an update like this. And going from floor 1 to 20 in the first round of Shattered Worlds before it was updated, I got 54,000 anima. Okay. Yeah. But when I went from floor 20 to floor 30 in the last few days, guess how much anima I got for doing that?
You probably got 4 or 5 mil, something like that.
2.5 million.
Yep.
Damn.
2.5 million, and then I went from 30 to 40, and I got another 4 or 5 million off that. So I'm at about 6 million anima right now, and that's just going from floor 40 all the way from around floor 15 or so. So as you can see, massive increase in the amount of anima that's given out. So in some ways, the people who are doing it now for the first time are getting a better bang for the buck than people who did it the first time. Because, I mean, you just really didn't get much for doing it at all when it was first done. And, you know, we can always second guess what Jagex does, I think. And I think that's the nature of this community, given the fact that this community is, what, 17 years old now? And everyone seems to have their opinion on how things work. We definitely do. And, you know, you can say, why didn't Jagex do this from the very beginning and see how much time it would take for someone to get this? And, I mean, that seems to be a massive oversight, I'm actually going to say, that it took that long. But I think if it had come out the way it is right now, I think we would have been looking at a far better overall reaction to it. And we could have talked about perhaps more of the better things that Shattered Worlds does and where it could go in the future. So
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it, you know, that criticism, it's not necessarily just from the community. I mean, and we'll talk about the live stream later, but you know, with a Mod Tembo, the live stream literally said it was shit that they did not get that right the first time. So, I mean, it comes from them too. They, you know, I mean, they
the
know that.
Mouth.
Right. And it reminds me of that, you know, what, that 1500% buff when Invention came out because they had so sorely screwed that up. So, I mean, it feels like that to me. And this one is like, it's like I got some good news, I got some not so good news. Like, I'm glad that they got the balance right. I do feel like it's right. I was down there this week. It felt a lot better. You definitely get more bang for your buck, like you said. And the other thing is, you don't underestimate the challenges, because you can go do those challenges and, you know, you can have that done in a half hour or so and get you a quick 10 mil. Anima.
Yeah, I haven't.
So you don't have to be pressured
myself. So that's actually probably a really good idea.
Yeah, and you don't have to be like pressured. You know, like if you're more of a just casual play, or you just want to do some Slayer, you know, this or that. Now it's actually worth it to do those challenges. So that's good. I feel like had it been, you know, at this balance originally, we would have been talking about, had a very different opinion, because we already know that it looks great. That was one of its strongest qualities, but, and there's always a but, and this one's kind of a big one. You know, when this came out and I knew I was going to be on the show, I kind of started thinking back. I'm like, what were some of the problems we talked about? And the balance was only one. That was only one issue among others. And, you know, I remember we talked about, I guess there is a lack of variety within the rewards a little bit, or lack of usefulness and rewards.
It still seems that way, but the abilities are great.
Yes, the abilities are great. You know, but I feel like, see, this is what I'm worried about. So is this considered finished now? So it was part of unfinished business. Now is it finished? Because it was just a rebalance of anima. We don't have, like, we still have cosmetic armor. We don't have, like, a useful armor set. We don't have, we have a beautiful looking Shattered Worlds, but we don't have a ton of variety in them. That was something we talked about too. So there were other things that could have made it fuller. But what we got with the rebalance, which I'm not complaining about, I'm happy about that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It may indicate our level of expectation for the future.
That's a very good thing to look at. And I
see where you're going here.
I'd like to just point everyone back to one of the episodes we did in, I think, May. We talked about the very same thing with Menaphos. We said, you know, if we don't manage expectations and if GIGX doesn't manage expectations carefully, Menaphos could potentially be seen in a bad way. Now, I'm not saying that it was all the players' fault for seeing Menaphos wrong. There was definitely some glaring mechanical issues when Menaphos came out that contributed to the way the players felt about it. And the same thing goes for Shattered Worlds. You can't blame the players for this, and you also can't blame Jagex fully for this. It's something that comes from both sides, I think. And, you know, I think what you said, we've been with this game for so long, it is what we come to expect of RuneScape, that we expect a certain fit and finish about these updates, but at the same time, Jagex is human. They can make mistakes. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's something I want to address because overall, I think this was good. I don't, you know, maybe you could help us understand this here too, Shane, because I don't understand the coding side and the development side of some of this, but it doesn't seem like it should have been that difficult to readjust some values. I mean, that's what they would do, right? Let's go in there and change some values. So we're 3 months out from that. I don't know. It seemed like it took a little while for just a rebalance.
Right. So likely what happened here is a result of Menaphos, because obviously this came out in May, I think it was early May. So at that time, you have to realize Menaphos was in final stages of being ready to go out. And when this was being developed, it was also, you know, going back all the way to 2015 or 2016 rather. And Menaphos, of course, 9 months. So if you basically look at a calendar, you see Menaphos came out in June. So you go all the way back 9 months it took to develop Menaphos. We know that because it's an expansion. So that puts us at September 2016 when Menaphos work started. Now, anything being worked on between September and June of 2017 would have felt the crunch of, you know, the entire team working on the Menaphos expansion. And that, of course, falls into the various aspects of Shattered Worlds. And this is what they said with Menaphos. It was influencing other aspects of the game. I think Shattered Worlds was one of them. And, you know, I have to say that 6 to 8 weeks from the time Menaphos came out, which is about what we're at right now, 6 to 8 weeks is the time from the team being freed up and allowing them to work on other things. That's a relatively short time scale to make an update and push it out, even a simple one. So,
okay. Well, that's fair enough. I appreciate it.
Like, let's just say that Menaphos work stopped the final week of June after the Magister was published and finalized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because everything in June would have been bug fixes for Menaphos, quality assurance for the Magister, which is up for debate still. So that means that early July and through August, so there you go, about 6 weeks to basically design the changes for Shattered Worlds, put them through some internal testing, make sure they're bug tested and whatnot, and then fit them into a release cycle. So when you look at it in terms of a pure time scale of how things were before Menaphos and now that the team is free, it's relatively conventional to have about 6 weeks development time to get something like this in game. So,
well, I appreciate the way you broke that down, because that actually makes a lot more sense to me, and it doesn't seem as long now when you put it in those terms. That, yeah, I get it a lot better. So we just have to ask our resident expert when we have questions like
that. Yeah, and of course, I mean, I could be completely wrong on the timetables here based on how long it takes to get something out like this, because I know they can hotfix little bugs within a few days, but when you're looking at the actual anima changes for floors and whatnot, you're going to have various different aspects. Like, for example, if something has a certain combat level or it's on a certain world in Shattered Worlds, it's going to have a different anima drop rate. So all that kind of stuff needs to be looked at and changed and then statistically verified and whatnot. So definitely more than, you know, standard, let's add a toggle for this in the interface, or let's hot fix something that happened in Slayer. So,
are you saying we could get a toggle for Shattered Worlds?
the old XP rate, the old anima rate.
Yeah, right. Oh,
I actually wouldn't want a toggle for Shattered Worlds because of what it did for the banking experience in game for the Water Altar.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So let's leave Shattered Worlds exactly where it is. So
that's true. Well, that brings me to another question, though. I think the key question: will it be left where it is, and is it where it needs to be? Like, can we call it finished?
You weren't speaking physically. Okay. I thought you were speaking physically.
I think it is. I think it is finished now, because unfortunately, now that they've reduced the amount of time you actually need to be in there, if they were to update it or anything, you know, people aren't going to go back unless they add more rewards. So I think this is what we're going to be calling finished, unfinished business.
I think the only way they could go further with Shattered Worlds would be to either, one, add more rewards, like you said, two, add more floors, or three, add in some other kind of challenge mode. So I think those would be the only ways they would go with it. But I think at this time they want to just have it as a piece of content people can play. And, you know, it's very unique in terms of what it gives. So,
yeah. And I would also call it finished. And I'm actually very happy with where it's at. And I think some of the stuff we talked about would have been nice, not essential. There is one thing I do hope we see, though, in the future, that it doesn't have to have it to be finished, but something I want there to be, I would love for there to be a quest that takes us into Shattered Worlds and flushes out the lore.
Oh, that would be good.
Of it.
That would be good.
And I think that would kind of be the icing on the cake.
That'd be a great excuse for a bottle quest.
It really would.
Yeah, but you know, it's quite finished right now, so we'll just leave it as is, eh? Yeah.
Right.
Also, they increased the price of the huge Slayer lamps because of the amount of anima you can get now per hour. The price has been increased to 6 million anima. So, oh, yeah, so I mean,
lucky they caught that.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, we definitely would have been seeing a lot of people using that as a Slayer training method. So,
yeah.
All right, Shattered Worlds. Tick that box off for complete August. So we're going to move on to the patch notes right now. A number of very interesting things, including a focus on free-to-play in the patch notes. But first, just a few little general ones here. You can now use teleport and skill spells while wielding a ranged weapon if you have the correct runes in your inventory. So basically what this means is that if you had a ranged weapon equipped and you had a teleport on your action bar, you wouldn't have been able to previously use that because it would have thought you were trying to use a magic spell.
Oh.
Because, of course, it comes from the magic book of abilities.
Jeepers.
You cannot unlock raid abilities until you have the corresponding appropriate levels, which is good. Mm-hmm. You can now disassemble superior void top and bottoms.
What does it break into?
Is there void components?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
Let me have a look.
I didn't know. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, because, and plus, you know, these are really expensive. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, you don't want to break it down for junk. What's the point in that?
Let's see. Superior Void Knight top. There's no information yet on what these assemble, and I don't know if I would want to do that, given how much you have to, pay for them. So,
yeah, I wouldn't be breaking mine down.
No, no. Okay, if someone wants to do that, go right ahead.
Let us know.
The oily fishing rod can now be redeemed from Grant after and during completion of the Hero's Quest.
Cool.
You know, this is a good thing, because there's so many of these old school quest items that you can only get once, and they just sit in your bank. Like, I have a tab of old quest items that I just kept. Of them, of course, is the oily fishing rod, but also the sled. Do you guys keep your sled?
I think I may have kept a sled, but I've lost several clean outs of quest items in the past.
Okay. Four new override options have been added. Magic, offhand, and shield overrides for basic and illuminated god books. You complete one book or illumination to unlock the override, and completing all of the illuminated books will unlock their colors as recolor options, and completing all six books will unlock the ability to use other recolors, including prismatic dyes. That's the next patch note. I had a bit of a copy-paste error there, but... yeah, and you know, I can see why people would do this. The god books are definitely an old school item that people might want to override for a magic wand or something. So nice to see Jagex offering that to us. So, because let's face it, those books are really low level now, and no one's going to use them. So, corrected the spelling of Dagonoth to Dagonoth in the Slayer Codex, which actually means they corrected it from Dagganoth to Dagannoth. The more you know about RuneScape spelling.
You guys, there's a bit more for finished business.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. A toggle has been added to the interface options that... Or sorry, it has not been added. It's always been there. I just learned about it this week with this patch note. The toggle to interface options that disable shortcut keys closing windows is now enabled by default for new players. So basically what this means is, if you have eye bound to open your inventory or backpack, if you previously just tapped eye, it would open and close that interface. Now, when you have this enabled, as it is now for new players, it'll just throw a glowing highlight orb on your interface of where this is, to kind of show you where that inventory is and exactly which you're referring to. So, yeah, I didn't know this option existed. I don't know how long it's existed for, but it could definitely be useful for those things you don't want to disappear when you press the wrong buttons on your interface or on your keyboard.
Yeah.
Now on to the free-to-play updates. So... free-to-play players can now receive and equip offhand drops from bosses within Dungeoneering. Neat.
Nice.
Cool.
You guys remember when EOC first came out, offhands were, of course, limited initially to members. So we're seeing that shift a bit here. Also, P2P offhand equipment from Bronze to Rune that isn't otherwise locked behind memberships, such as darts, throwing axes, claws, defenders, and some other low-level shields, can now be equipped in free-to-play.
Finally! Man, this is outrageous. They used to hate us. Yeah. So silly.
Yeah.
Glad they changed that.
I mean, you're not, if you think about it, combat in RuneScape, dual wielding, if you're free-to-play, you're not getting the full experience with this.
Not even, yeah.
So, very nice to see this. Also, P2P, main hand claws, darts, and throwing axes from Bronze to Rune can now be equipped in free-to-play.
Oh, wow.
Steel studs can now be also smithed by free-to-play, and there's more that we're going to talk about free-to-play in this week's dev Q&A. There's going to be a huge focus on free-to-play from Jagex going forward.
Yes, very, very glad to see these changes.
Yeah, it all comes down to where free-to-play sits in the game, and they got some pretty big ideas for it, but we'll save that for later. Now some livid farm changes. Repair Pouch, the Repair Pouch spell has had its rune cost reduced to one astral, one cosmic, and one law rune from two astral, one cosmic, and one law rune. That's nice. Livid Farm has also increased the XP rates across various activities by 50%. Also, Livid Farm bundled produce, logs, planks are now stackable in the player inventory. So that means that you no longer have to worry about banking. And the whole idea of Livid Farm now is that everything that you get from Livid Farm will just stock or stack rather in your inventory nicely.
Oh, you're going to hit back to Livid Farm then, Shane?
No. N-O, no.
Yeah, and I have to go back there, and I'm still waiting. It could get better. They could get rid of it someday. You never know. I'm hoping.
I don't think they will, because they got a boatload of spells that are locked behind it. So
you're right. A man can dream, can he?
Maybe. Random events will now award the player produce points instead of runes. Instead of runes upon completion. Okay, so that's good. You're getting a random event inside Livid Farm. Rather than giving us runes that we already probably have in our bank, give us produce points. That's excellent.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
So, I think they're finally getting the hint here that not many people actually do Livid Farm unless they're going out on a completionist run or something like that, or searching for task sets, or just to unlock all the spells. Because let's be honest, Livid Farm is absolutely garbage in terms of XP rates, and, you know, I consider the whole damn thing blasphemy to farming.
It's terrible. It's a painful experience, and you only do it for comp.
Right.
That's it.
And as you can see here, that's why they increased the XP by 50%. So,
How many years did that take?
Too many.
Been out for, yeah.
Too many. Araxar's percentage for Wall of Health, Burn, and Acidity level will now always display on the progress bar. Of course, that's for the various paths you can take in there, and it'll... I mean, I've never done Araxar that much, but as I recall from the one time I did run through it, it didn't necessarily always say those, so that's good that it's there now.
Very good.
When finding an elite skilling outfit fragment, it will now state how many you find. Now, obviously, if you have your game chat filtered, you won't see that, because that's one of the filtered chat options. And, you know, this is a note to everyone out there who trains skills like... not hunter, but runecrafting and smithing and whatnot nowadays, that you know you get these, and if you have your game chat filter, you might have enough to build that entire item set. So I would say every so often head by the invention guild, see if you have enough to build your shark outfit or rune ethereal outfit based on what you've been doing, because you know, previously you didn't really get these notifications, so now yeah, you can do that.
I've got 15k camouflage fragments.
Right?
Well, I'll give you a couple pieces.
Wow. Something to check.
Yeah, see? There's always these little things that Jagex wants to illuminate for us. Now some lunar spell changes. The North Ardoyant teleport will now transport the player to the Ardoyant farmer patch north of the city. Nice. Mm. And the South Falador lunar spell will now transport the player to the Falador farming patch south of the city. So you can see kind of what they're doing here. They're kind of setting up this spell book so it will allow you to teleport to all of these patches. And I can only think of how quick this will make you on your farming runs. Granted, we really don't need the North Ardoyan one, because if you've done that task set, you get a cape that takes you right there with unlimited teleports. And you have the Ring of Cabbage as well for the South Falador one. So these are kind of redundant, but they provide options for people who haven't done them yet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
Currency Pouch has been reworked to be more convenient to use and has increased the number of favorites available to the player. All right. I don't really have favorites set up in there, but nice to know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrannan Quiver will now tell you how many arrows your quiver contains after topping up or picking up arrows. That's nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's real nice.
That's another task set I got to get done.
Oh, it's so good, Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good.
I forget
You're
why.
You're going to do Herblore someday, right?
Yeah.
You need those acorns, man. You get an extra one every day.
That's right. And another reason is there's that mushroom patch in the forest there that you can mm-hmm. unlock with that. So,
yep.
Two leprechauns can now refund players 90% of the paid value for unused compost and super compost. So basically what this means is that if you say, here's some GP, automatically compost my patches for me. Previously, you weren't able to get that compost back. So now you can get a refund on what you pay.
That's cool.
Yeah. Personally, I still manually compost just because, I don't know. That's part of my farming routine. So I never use this feature.
Yeah, I never have either. No.
Tortoiseshell bowls from the Ark can now be crafted in batches of 60 rather than 10.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, this is focusing in on, of course, the Ark. And the Ark is good for training skills that in a way that, you know, you might not normally think of training them. And the fact you can do 10 now instead of 60 is going to make it a lot more AFK and perhaps increase the amount of XP you get from that. Of course, we also know that hunting the turtles is still really good hunter XP. I think we said on the Crystal Skill Chomp episode that it was on the order of around 2 million XP an hour. So lots of interesting things happening in the Ark XP-wise, which when you think about it, considering how unfinished the Ark was when it came out, it's amazing. It's finally blooming into its full potential a year later. So
they're finally getting finished.
That's right.
Yeah. And it wasn't even on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Now, some changes for the NXT client. They fixed a crash when minimizing on compatibility mode, which I guess if you're on compatibility mode, you either have a pretty bad graphics card or your drivers are messed up, because I don't think I've ever seen compatibility mode for anything I have on NXT. Have you guys?
No.
No? Okay. Incorrect water rendering on older GPUs or compatibility mode has been fixed. All right. It'd be interesting to see what that looked like water-wise. Because, you know, water is actually a very interesting thing to try and render through hardware because of all the reflections and whatnot and how it's dynamic. So,
it's actually one of the cool things in XT, too.
Yeah, yeah. I know I was having a debate with someone when NXT was first being baited, and they're like, why do we need RuneScape to look like this with the water? Why do we need reflections like that? And, I mean, it's just the future of how it looks. But I still am a very big fan of how the water is in NXT.
Yeah, me too.
They also reduced the RAM usage by approximately 90 megabytes of NXT. Woo! Yeah, I mean, 90 megabytes. Okay, that's probably not a lot for someone who has 8 gigs or more of RAM. But I guess if you're running RuneScape on an older system, that could be something for you. And they also reduced the memory and CPU usage of the user interface system slightly. So, you should probably see an update on that in terms of memory usage on systems later. But I personally don't notice any issues for me with NXT. So, all right. That's all I got from the patch notes. You guys got anything else that I missed or that you want to mention?
There was one about how when you're in the Clan Citadel and you go into the main building, you can now click the door and you won't get stuck against the wall. I thought that was great.
Oh,
it's been in there since it first came out. I used to do it every time.
And it's clan update too.
Yeah.
Which is rarity.
Very rare.
Okie dokie then. Well, we do have an Elite Hunter outfit on Treasure Hunter this weekend, running from August 23rd to August 28th. There's the Desert Trapper, Jungle Trapper, and Arctic Trapper outfit. One outfit, of course, available for the first 3 days, and then on the final day you can get pieces from all of them. And the benefits for these are as follows. 5% chance to increase hunting success rate. Auto reapplying of the Juju Hunter Potion in Herb Lore Habitat. Increased chance of rare charm sprites from Yaktui, which is, of course, the charm sprite hunting minigame, north of Ardoyan. I don't know if people remember that or see that as a viable hunting method, but it's still there and it's actually kind of fun. You also get 3 daily teleports to hunter locations. Now, if you get the combined hunter outfit that combines all three of them, that ups yourself to a 7% chance increase in success rate, a 10% chance of double loot. Now, here's the big one. You can now deploy an extra trap up to a maximum of 6.
Wow.
Okay.
And at hunter level 85 is when you unlock 5. So I was thinking with this, I mean, if we really wanted to revitalize hunter, why didn't we add a 6 trap at level 99 rather than putting it into this outfit? Because, I mean, if we're looking at skills to 120 one day, and hunter is one of them, that means this outfit is going to need to be up to either 7, or it's going to have to lose this requirement or this ability. So,
but if you did that, how are you going to sell keys, Shane?
Well,
it's about the money, Lebowski. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually personally just waiting for the time when this will be added into game in probably about a year or so through the invention mechanic. So,
It's all fun and games until they come out with some kind of farmer outfit like this, and then watch Shane just rage.
Didn't they already do that?
Is there an elite farming? Is there elite farming? There's elite wood cutting.
No, there isn't an elite farming outfit.
Yeah.
What do you think will be on the elite farming one? It's like you can dig your own extra herb patch.
I don't know. I would say probably some kind of harvest buff, because that seems to be the general thing they like to do with these. Maybe a disease reduction.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's hypothetical. They also, with this, offer an increased conversion rate for the Big Chinchompa reward points. Chance to instantly deploy and pick up traps.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
And they say it's a chance. So, I mean, obviously your electrified traps are still going to do that. The protein traps will still do what they do. So it's not going to do it all the time. Chance for double loot from Implings, 3 per day. I don't even know who hunts Implings anymore for GP, because they're not really that great anymore for that. Works as a hunter's catalyst fragment. If owned, of course, that is from Sliskay's endgame. For those of you guys who do quests, Hunter's Catalyst Fragment. Basically, what this does is it resets box traps, magic boxes, bird snares, and turtles when they fall and fail to catch a creature. So,
yeah, really useful. And I just had mine out a couple weeks ago when Skill Chompas came out.
Yeah. Sliskay's endgame. That's another thing we got to look at when they bring that back into replayable form. Oh boy, that's gonna be fun.
Parts of it.
Auto reapply the Juju Hunter potion in Herblore habitat. Increase the chance of rare charm sprites from Yaktui, and 5 daily teleports to hunter locations. So I don't think this is nearly as overpowered as, say, the fishing outfit was when that came out. So.
We'll see, I suppose.
Yeah.
The 6 traps is pretty big.
The 6 traps and the chance to instantly redeploy are, I think, the big things here.
But this probably stacks, right? So you got a 7%. Now think about if you're using the Hunter Aura.
Yep.
So
Arctic Bear.
Yeah. So, I mean, by itself, maybe not, but in conjunction, it might be the... I mean, I know people that were pulling over a mil onto Crystal Chinchompas right now.
Oh, yeah.
So with all this, who knows what that could reach up into.
Yeah, and, when you get to a point where it's not so much if you succeed or fail with those, it's going to just control how quick you catch them. Success rate.
That's true.
And that double loot.
Yeah, I have a question.
Applies with, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Yeah, does this apply to the... Crystal Skill Chompas, where if you have level 99, there's a 10% chance to get 4 all the time, or 8 if you roll luckily on that. So, okay, lots of questions to be asked about this. I haven't got any pieces yet, so that's too bad.
I think I've had 3 pieces, but I'm a mile off that big piece, the big one.
Yeah, that's 15 pieces in total.
15. Yeah, right.
Okay, so we do have a couple of polls this week also to discuss. The polls this week are for stash units and Yuri's hidey holes. Of course, the stash units are what we talked about the previous week in the dev blog for Treasure Hunter and, or sorry, not Treasure Hunter, Treasure Trails, being able to just store your items everywhere. And they did include the final poll text on the dev blog that we talked about, and that was linked in the poll. So they did a good way of doing that. Hopefully people read it before sending it in. So the poll reads as follows. We've considered a number of potential methods for how to make emote clues a smoother experience without removing their requirements, and have decided that stash units, as detailed in our recent blog, are the best way forward. If this poll passes, that's what we'll do. Else we'll pull one of our other solutions. Choices are yes and no. Now, with that being said, yes is winning with 86%, no at 13%. So this required a 75% threshold to pass. Did you guys vote yes?
Really?
Abstaining from voting is a vote with the majority, correct?
Perhaps.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm going with because I hate looking for stuff, so I hate clues.
All right.
It doesn't really matter to me. But it sounds like a good idea. If I were to do them, I would be very happy about this.
Yeah. All right.
It's a waste of a poll, in my opinion. Why do we need this? Just do it.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's a very good point.
Also, I don't like their biased poll where yes is in color and no is in black and white. That really ticked me off.
Oh, good idea.
Is that what they were talking about with the changing that? Because they mentioned it in the
Yeah, that's how it looked. That's how it looks on the interface in-game.
Okay.
So... All right.
It's not good.
The next one actually deals with color, and this poll is called Prepare to Die, asking if we would like something like iced eyes in-game. Yes, definitely has this one, 83%. 16% say no. So basically the idea behind this is should we create an iced eye? And they include some samples of how it would look on Malevolent Armor and on a Drygor Longsword. So I voted no on this one.
Do tell.
I just think that, you know, we just had the blood dye added recently to game, and I think with the amount the blood dye added for the tier 92 items, and we got three high level dyes right now in game that you can get, and I think that having rare items at the top of the elite clue scrolls being very super rare at that is a good thing, but at the same time I don't think we should be adding a ton of these kind of super rare items to the clue scrolls. I think there should only be a small handful of them. And I think right now the number that exists there is perfectly fine with the Barrows, Blood, and what's the other die?
Barrows. Shadow?
Shadow, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. So,
you know, I've talked to some people about this because I have friends that are really into clues.
Right.
And they, the opinion seems to be like that it's good. And that's my opinion. Like I would vote yes on this, but people are a little leery on the look. It looks like a crystal weapon, and that's not good enough. They need to work on how it looks. But the idea of an ice die, I think that's cool, especially with, you know, all the Game of Thrones hype, right?
You know? Yeah, and, you know, they said this was supposed to be kind of relating to the icing, not necessarily just to ice. It's like the icing people is the sense it's supposed to convey. This was on the stream. It wasn't necessarily in the poll or the linked forum thread for this, which I found a bit odd. And I mean, that's probably another reason I voted no as well, because, it just wasn't thoroughly explained. And I mean, like it looks nice, but like you said, it looks very close to crystal armor. So.
Yeah. And I totally missed the icing connection. They should have brought that out. That does make some difference.
I was actually just thinking about the icing this week. I was wondering if we're going to get anything else on them in the future. So.
I don't know. Are they unfinished?
yeah, they were briefly touched on in one of the vampire quests. But that quest line is done. Though I guess if we ever go back to the Myrec area, that might be something to think about. Oh, that was a good quest line. You done that one, RR Man? You done the vampire quests? All of them? I guess we'll take that as a no then.
Yeah. I don't know. They were some of my favorites too.
Yeah, most definitely.
I enjoyed them a lot.
Most definitely.
Vampires and the goblins were two of my favorite quest lines.
Oh, I was muted. Sorry.
Oh, so what's your answer to that?
That was probably a perfect answer for it. I think I've actually done two of them. So that's one I've actually started.
You got to get on those. They're really great.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so there's our two polls for the week. Looks like they will both be passing with very strong majorities. They required 75% thresholds to pass. All right. You guys ready for the core of the matter this week?
Let's do it.
We finally got the dev blog on mining and smithing, potentially, of what is going to happen in the meantime before a massive rework happens. So, as you guys will remember, we talked about after the unfinished business stream that they wanted to effectively split out the mining and smithing rework and bring it into its own high-level skill update that gets the majority of what players want and gives Jagex a huge value here. What they say is they'll take all the new rewards, mechanics, and ore, so on, from the rework and separate them out into release after. But in the meantime, there will be new content that would include new tiers of ore and gear for level 70+, useful high-level armor, and a smithing overload-like item that's a powerful unlock that is seen as a reason to train the skill. So that is what we're looking at right now and what the potential pull will be about. They say they would like to put this in a specific area, such as a reworked mining guild, the artisan's workshop, or maybe even an extra floor in the Living Rock Caverns. I think that'd be an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. They say it would create an isolated but complete economy for the top end of mining and smithing to address the core problem with the skills, that there are very few good reasons to train them or make anything with them. Until you reach the newly added tiers of metal, the mining and smithing skills will look exactly like they do now. So that is until you reach level 70+, you'll have the current skill the way it is. They estimate that this will bring 80% of the benefit of the rework at about 25% of the cost.
God, can I just stop there for a second? If someone came over to your house to fix maybe your toilet or your bathroom, would you like to hear them say to you, "We're going to bring you 80% of this, but it's going to only be 25% of the cost"? Don't you think that sounds like a con artist?
Yeah, right.
But it's not going
to. It rubs me the wrong way.
But it's not going to take them 9 months to fix my toilet.
Jagex probably would, Shane.
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. And
see, this is. Don't you think this is an issue, though, Shane? Because when they talked on the stream previous to this, and they talked about the survey and the split in the player base between fundamentally changing the skill or adding to the skill, and it was split. It looks to me like
it was 48-46.
Right, but this takes a side. I mean, right? This is basically we're not fundamentally changing the skill.
But at the same time, they said that the other things that were part of the update, new rewards, mechanics, ores, and so on from the rework will be separated out and release them at a later date.
But do you believe that?
Yeah, see, that's my question as well.
I think
just have a low level of trust.
I think that this is a document that on its own is setting out a short-term vision. And the short-term vision is to effectively get the skill usable again where the bulk of the people have their level set, which I think, to be fair, is at the 70+ range. Now, with that being said, I would absolutely love to have the mining and smithing rework as it was discussed in that stream last year before it was completely turned on its head and they wanted to come up with something new. I would absolutely love to have something like that. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it can either be looked at as a PR perspective or a dev perspective. If we're looking at it as a dev perspective, you can have it take the place of a standard update, which would take about 3 to 4 months, which is a quarter of the time the full rework would likely take a year plus, I'm imagining, for a full rework and bigger than an expansion. And we saw what expansions did with the game. So with that being said, from a development perspective, this is the easier route, and it accomplishes what the bulk of the players want, who are at level 70 plus. Now, from the PR perspective, I see this as a way of effectively putting a bandage on the situation. Where
they're putting a bandage on my toilet, Shane. It's not fixing it.
But at the
same time, it might stop leaking for a day.
But you're going to have new stuff to build and make after you get this, though.
See, I feel like this is Jagex is in a tight spot here. No matter what they do, they're going to alienate some people. But at the same time, this is a crisis of their own making entirely. Mm. I mean, really, because were people clamoring for mining and smithing rework before it was announced at that RuneFest, however many years ago? But no one was going to quit over it.
Well, exactly. Until that's why they shouldn't have given up on it so easily.
Right. Well, and I can tell you, the reason people freaked out was because you were taking their money. It had nothing to do with mining and smithing. It had everything to do with rune value, alk value, and coal.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is why they freaked out.
That was the old question.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, I don't know. They should have contacted us. We could have helped them.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. And I think the people who are freaking out about it are a part of the minority.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people that have like stacks of rune, and that's they were freaking out. And I get it. I mean, that's where their money is, but
I could just high elk it right now before it even happens. I'm sorry, I don't care. Those people don't have an excuse.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, the same way, I don't really have sympathy for people who expect the game to go their way because they have a stack of a certain item. At the end of the day, it needs to be looked at as to what is going to provide health and benefit for the game.
Yes. No, you guys are right. I'm just saying I'm sympathetic, I guess, a little more so, but I agree that it's about the game. At the end of the day, it's about the health of the game, because if it's not healthy, we're all screwed.
Exactly. And that's why I think this is a good way of doing it. You know, the best analogy I can come up with here is that it's like a change in government, where if you have one government who has been in there for a long time and then people vote them out and you get a new administration in there, and the new administration the very beginning is likely to make a bunch of changes that might be small, but they're going to provide a huge benefit, and they're going to provide a huge PR talking point for things that can be done. And that's effectively what this option is for the mining and smithing rework. It's a way to say, hey, we're doing this. Mining and smithing at the higher tiers is usable again. We know there are other problems. We're going to tackle those in the next year or two.
Yeah, it makes them look like they're doing something when they're not really doing something.
But they are doing something, just... because it would definitely be, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, the 6 weeks dev time we probably had for Shattered Worlds changes. It would probably be on the order of 3 to 4 months, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I was talking about earlier in the show. This is what I think Unfinished Business is going to end up looking like. It's not actually going to get a complete finish. We're going to get, and you know what? Maybe that's okay. Maybe we get 75% of what we want. That's okay. Shane, can I just say, I love your analogies that could only come from a place that has a sane government, because where I'm standing, not so much. Not so much.
Well,
I'm
worried about it. Was just general, right? So
yeah, but you don't got to worry about crazy.
And I think you hit the nail on the head, because you said 75%, right? And Jagex says, yeah, we estimate this will bring 80% of the benefit at 25% the cost.
Yeah, I think our man's right on that, though. That does sound like a con job, but I mean, no, it was.
But it's.
I mean, if it is, it's great.
This is just a classic exercise in PR and ensuring that the majority of people are happy, and you can ensure that you got something that's going to benefit most people, right? So, or I guess, as you were calling it earlier this week, Tanis, would that be unfocused business?
Yes, I believe it would be.
So, yes. And I mean, I think we're getting a better idea of what unfinished business is, even if it turns out being a tad unfocused, as you say. So,
yeah.
Sad. That's sad. But I guess we should talk about the actual poll text.
Well, I just want to say what's not included, because they do have a heading here specifically identifying what will not be here, so people aren't miffed by it. shuffling and rebalancing of the metal tiers. They say it's important to the long-term health of the game, so it's going to happen at some point, but they say it would be the huge majority of time spent on the rework, and they wouldn't be making any changes to drop tables or old content. So that's there, and that's going to probably keep people happy. There also won't be any new content for lower levels, and XP rates will not increase, but neither of these would be included in a full rework regardless. So, poll time. Should we develop a high-level mining and smithing update which brings all of the 70-plus benefits of the rework sooner, but delays the tidying up of the old content? We will also include a link to this dev blog. Answer number one, yes. Answer number two, no. The poll will be a simple 50% threshold, and that's because they're asking players to choose between two alternatives for an update, and a higher threshold is appropriate when we're asking you to choose whether or not to add or change something or to do nothing. In this case, either option means a change to the game. We just want to know what the majority want. So this will be a big one. They also spell it exactly what the yes and the no will mean. If yes wins, that means as soon as possible, they will begin work on this high-level mining and smithing update. And the rest of the rework, including fixing the tiers and whatnot, is still important, but will be prioritized as what it is, a very expensive update that has a significant impact only on low-level players. We already have many high-priority projects for low-level players, including, you guys ready for this, the early game experience and how new players come into the game from mobile. Ding, ding, ding. If no wins, the feedback tells us you want the full rework, then we will prioritize it accordingly. It will be put back on a release schedule and assigned for development in the future. As noted earlier, this will mean less of other updates. It is very likely that if no wins, the full rework will come a bit sooner, but the high-level benefits will also come much later.
Now, that's kind of a fret. It's a light fret, but I don't like that wording. How about you?
Yeah, you're right. I can definitely feel a bit of that here.
I got that from Magebit, actually. He's not really happy with it. And that statement, man,
much later is number one.
Yeah.
Also here, let's see, what's the word here? They say it will mean less of other updates. So it's effectively saying here that if you choose this, there's going to be less of other updates, even though we told you so.
See, that's unfortunate too, because up until that point I thought they were actually doing an improved job on explaining the polls and the consequences stuff.
So there's also the start of the sentence is a bit shitty as well. It says if no wins and feedback tells us, so it's like if no wins, they still might not go with no.
And, so. And I mean, I can talk a bit about this now because it's our next thing, I think, here in the notes. But they talked about polls on the Q&A this week, and they said they want people to say no more often. And just because you're saying no, it doesn't mean you don't want something to happen. So what it could mean is that if no wins, I'm going to read this in another way. You guys just imagine this is what it says instead. If no wins and the feedback tells us that you want something else for the top end update, then we will have a look at what players suggest for high level content in mining and smithing. And we will come back to you in a few weeks with a revamped dev diary and so on and so forth. That could also be what no means. And, you know, I'm just saying because it says, and feedback tells us you want the full rework, because feedback could very well say, no, we don't want this, but we want something sooner rather than later. Yeah. So, no could have any number of meanings here. But my gut instinct is that we'll see a yes on this, a very resounding yes.
I think, unfortunately, you're right. I'll be voting no. I don't know if you guys want to say what you're voting yet or if you've decided.
I don't know for sure, but I lean towards yes, just because I think there are things coming on the lower end. I got to, like, it wasn't an argument, but it was a debate with someone the other day about new players coming in the game. They're like, there's new players. I'm like, no, there isn't. Those are called alts. And we went back and forth for a while like that. So I don't think that's as important as keeping the people that are here happy. But I don't know. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm kind of on the fence. I just lean towards yes.
I'm going to be going yes, because as I mentioned, this is a very classic. This is the kind of move that you would want to make if you were in PR, or like I said, if you were bringing a new government somewhere. You want to use your goodwill that you have, make changes that are noticeable and outright to the people who are paying attention, and give them what they want sooner rather than later.
Got to make all the promises, eh?
Yeah.
Pander to your base.
So I definitely think that yes is the way to go on this. And I mean, if yes wins and this does come out and it turned out to be very successful, it can be in effect the poster child of how unfinished business can work and how modern polls in RS can work. So poll is coming on September 4th.
And let's hope that we get something out of these polls, because I still have a bad taste in my mouth for the polls that we voted one way and nothing, absolutely nothing came of it.
Yeah, that is, they have a point.
Like the rare poll, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reaction on this thread is mixed, and I don't know. I don't think it'll be a hit out of the park like 85% plus, but I definitely think it's going to be yes. So
yeah, it's probably going to hit for probably about a 60%, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of salty people out there, but myself included. But I think the salt is fair, because it's been, what, 3 years since this has started?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I kind of like allude to this in this month's article.
Nice plug.
Right, but It's hard. Like, we want to believe in Jagex and we want to have that trust. But when they continually just change course, it leads you to feel like they're unfocused and that they change their direction so much that it's hard for you to have faith in what they're telling you they can do. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, and you know, we'll hopefully hear more on that at RuneFest this year, what the direction for 2018 will be, because they definitely said there's going to be a huge announcement about that. So
it's going to be a very, very interesting RuneFest.
Yeah,
when it comes to what they say and how they say it, and if we can believe them.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, we we want to believe them. We want it to work. We have their back. It's just that you're not helping yourself. You're not helping us, you know, with our trust.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you get out there and vote, guys.
I'm just trying to think of a way we could restore this trust. And, you know, I think, you know, a clear vote on this for yes would be an example of that. Because if you get something like this out and, you know, the players enjoy it, that can be a trust building thing. And like, let's be real here. How many people who are playing RuneScape in Priv, reading this forum, listening to this podcast, are going to
You're really cutting those numbers down.
Right. I'm just wondering how many people who are experts at RuneScape, who listen to this show, who have been around for a while, how many people are going to be interacting with low-level smithing items?
Well, all the people that have alts.
I guess that is a number of people.
People that want to make Iron Man.
And Iron Man, yes. Iron Man is a consideration. I mean, it actually is. So, but I think you're in the right direction, though, Shane, because I really do feel like the higher levels, you almost have to address them first.
Yeah.
Like, because they weren't saying, like, that would be it. They were still doing
stuff is still going to happen. It's just going to be done after. And, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest here. When it comes to putting out updates that have a meaningful impact on the game this year, Jagex needs a win. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of updates this year that are a win in terms of advancing the game.
Can we be honest here? I don't think this will come out this year.
Well, no, I'm just saying in general this year there hasn't been something. So we need to definitely get something on the agenda that can do that going forward. Yes.
You know, I think that is a big ticket item that will help ensure trust. But I think as this year plays out, it is unfinished business. That is what counts. Like every month, every week that we get something ticked off on that is going to help.
Exactly.
Okay, I believe in you. You can do it.
To go back to the campaign and new government analogy, it's like the first 100 days promises.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have that too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got that. All
right.
Yeah. So, it like I said, it all comes down to optics, I think, at this point. As much as we would like these things to be substantive and massive, you need to go for the wins where you can get them, and it comes down to optics. And I think having an update like this come into the game would be a definite win.
It would be a great way to start off 2018.
There you go.
A great way.
And I mean, if this was to start, I don't know what the backlog looks like, but if this was to get prototyped and started on in, you know, September or October, that would put it on release for Q1 of 18. So,
yeah. Well, let's really hope that it is a win for them. Let's hope that if yes does win, that it's not, you know, it doesn't come out and it's half of an already half an update. That would be very disappointing.
I don't think they could do that.
I didn't even want to think about that possibility, man.
Well, you've got to, though. You've got to think.
Yeah, you're right.
A Menophos, so.
You're right.
Let's just hope they have a win. 2018 is going to be a good one. Let's hope.
Well, we're already looking forward to 2018. Alrighty then.
I think this year's a bit of a wash, Shane.
Yeah, we'll see how that looks when I go back and look at the year for the final RSVNB update.
You're gonna sit yourself down with a good bottle of whiskey and while you do that one.
Right. We've got a few months though, and look, we got Crystal Skill Chompas, we got Shattered World improvements in August. Next month we're gonna get the achievement system, hopefully.
We're getting two quests, Evil Dave and one other one.
you throw in some really awesome graphical reworks, and we could pull this. We could pull the year out with like a D. You know?
Unfortunately, graphical reworks are on hold.
Same.
The graphical reworks for Catherby, or sorry, Sears Village has been put on pause for a while.
So now we're just going to have to do a pass-fail grade. That's our only...
at least RSB&B, the podcast, is going strong.
Yeah, right?
They've got that.
Hey, at least we're not making fake news anymore for the second half of the year.
That's true.
All right. So they had a Q&A live stream this week. A number of things came up. Timed high scores are something that's going to be coming out next month. The initial ones are going to include fastest Queen Black Dragon, fastest Telos at 200% in Rage, fastest Dungeon, Solo, medium complexity 6, fastest Araxor Kill, fastest new... What?
Apparently. New Solo.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what I was typing there, but okay. Fastest dungeon group large C6. And of course, they will expand on these. The initial thought is that they're going to run for 8 weeks, all of them. And then after that, they'll cycle through them one at a time. So none of them are skilling related, unfortunately.
What about dungeoneering? That's a skill, right? You couldn't see my air quotes, but they were.
Okay.
I could taste them.
Okay.
Let's see. What was that other one that I missed? Fastest new.
Fastest new.
I have no idea. But anyways, continuing on, they also talked a wee bit about unfinished business. There'll be a dedicated unfinished business stream in September, and following that, they'll have an unfinished business stream each and every month after that, so definitely keeping us up to date on that matter, so that's good. On top of unfinished business, they are working with 3 new Slayer monsters for people with greater than 100 Slayer. They're going to be similar to the polypore mechanics, and you'll choose based on combat styles, and they will be, quote, cute but deadly. And here's some screenshots of how they look. They're kind of like rock creatures with, I guess, a bit of energy around them. I don't know exactly what they'll be called, but that's just how they look right now.
So we're getting Pokemon for our Pokedex?
Maybe. Oh, okay. That is what I thought of from the very beginning. And then second screenshot is an environment sample of what they're working on very preliminarily. Where they'll be found. They wanted to get out of the habit of being in Slayer dungeons and whatnot. So we got like what looks like a forest here being prototyped with a new selection of volumetric lighting here. So pretty Ooh. Amazing.
Yeah, I do like that they're getting out, and it's going to be a different environment than just a dungeon. So that is good.
Yeah, I mean, just have a look at what we got here for the environment and imagine going in there and just killing things, shadows and lighting. It looks really, really good. So that's going to be a really good one to see when that comes out.
And we've seen what they can do when they want to when it comes to that. I mean, Shattered Worlds is an example of how good stuff can look. And so this could be cool. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So that's the top of unfinished business right now. We'll hear more in September about that. There's also some talk about polls, which I guess we can talk about now since we already did the polling update. The idea behind the ice die poll is trying to find out if players would enjoy the concept of the icing die. All the options available were not included in the poll because if they do that, if they put more options, it means the majority of players wouldn't be voting for that option. And the biggest reason is that in multi-option polls, the options that win ultimately don't gain traction. You end up with something around 25 to 30% of the vote that wins.
Didn't they fix this just the other week with the skilling, was it the combat pets, where they'd vote the 4 choices and then do another poll? Yeah. Why can't they just do that again? That worked.
They basically said that if they're going to be doing polling like that, they would like to move to a survey kind of mechanic.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And
I could see that. I mean,
I think it's good because then you end up with the plurality and then you end up with Trump. I mean, what did I say that? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah.
Speaking of unfinished business.
Pluralities are not always good in voting.
And, you know, options specifically that didn't win but also gained traction in polls, and why they like doing two-option polls is Floor 61. We all remember how much traction that got and how much discussion that garnered. And one personally on this podcast is the greenhouse instead of the aquarium.
Yes. And they did say Floor 61 is part of unfinished business.
Yep.
So, you know, that should be coming at some point.
Yeah, so that's what they're that's what they're doing. Okay, I perhaps shouldn't be reading the chat right now that you guys are having here.
Oh, sorry. Moving on.
Maude Osborne wants to train the community to say no more. If there's something you don't like, say no. Post about it. Let JagX know.
They get downvoted on Reddit.
I mean, do they think we don't say? Do they read?
Well, to be fair, I think what this is going after is the fact that the majority of the new polls that have come out have all passed with super majorities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that that is kind of what they're going after here. So, and that's why I think it's okay for people to say no on the mining and smithing poll, for example, and why I said no on the icy and die poll. But we'll have to wait and see. They say players also seem to have an issue in voting if they don't know what the other options are. But if JagX reveals the other options, those options, as they said previously, gain traction as well, i.e. Floor 61, Greenhouse, Invention, Greenhouse. When they pulled Prith, right? So,
yeah. Greenhouse, oh.
Right?
Don't remind me of that beautiful update.
I missed that. Yeah.
Their goal with the polling system.
We got an aquarium.
Yeah. The goal with the polling system going forward is to get the dev blog out early, include the poll text, get feedback about the text, and hopefully not have to change the poll text when it actually gets into game. And polls that have a substantial text change that will change the results will be restarted. The text was changed minorly with the icy and die poll. So I don't know if anyone noticed that, but the text was changed, but the numbers were not reset. So next ninja projects on the docket are Slayer creatures, timed high scores, and the boss drop log. So combat focused, kind of tying up Menaphos Slayer dungeon there. Now free to play, the part that is really interesting to the future of RuneScape. Areas including the Warriors Guild, Defenders quests like Broken Home, the Paterdomus area, and maybe even the Fletching Skill are considered being made free-to-play.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, that's big stuff.
Right, and I mean, you can definitely see the Fletching Skill because free-to-play already has access to smithing and runecrafting for creating ammunition for magic and armor and weapons for smithing. So why not Fletching, right?
Didn't you call this, Shane, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, at some point in the future, I think I said they should make Fletching free-to-play.
Some point in the future?
Or sometime or in the past.
Yeah. All right, Doc Brown.
Free-to-play, they say, should also not feel like you're hitting a hard brick wall when you start running up against barriers, so that's good. And free-to-play feels like a demo, but you should be able to continue to play as free-to-play if that's the way you want to play RuneScape. And they fully accept that some people might be stuck in free-to-play from membership lapsing or not being able to get a bond. And JagX wants these people to play without barriers so that they can, you know, keep in touch with the community and keep just keep playing the game known as RuneScape. So, yeah. I like the direction they're going with free-to-play. And I think we kind of called this once mobile came out that there would be an increased focus on free-to-play, right? Because if you have RuneScape Mobile focused in on the Play Store, the iOS App Store, you're going to get a bunch of new people coming into game. And, of course, all these people who are joining for the first time are going to be free-to-play. They're going to need quests. They're going to need weapons. They're going to want combat abilities. They're going to want to be able to use all three combat styles and whatnot. So I think this, you know, renewed focus on free-to-play is absolutely excellent.
It's excellent, and I think it's essential. I mean, just from a business standpoint, they need to be competitive in this realm. They can't just – you can't stay the same forever. And, you know, they've survived off our memberships for a long time. That's great. But there are so many competitors out there that have really good free games. And so if you want to – if you want people to come inside, you got to open up the door. You know, you got to let some people in and make that free-to-play side of things better so that they want to stay. And at the very least, you know, keep the bond market going so that I might have a friend that's free-to-play. I can give them a bond, you know, that got paid for somewhere. So that's still money going to Jagex. So I think it's really good, and it was something that they had to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, one of our longtime site staff members, King Kula, does Informer now, all the Informer editing, played RuneScape as free to play for his entire time playing RuneScape, except for 1 month of membership.
Wow.
So there are people out there who do that. But moving on in the Q&A live stream, they talked about mining and smithing. This was before the dev blog came out. They basically reiterated all the points in the dev blog, so that's what we just talked about. There's going to be some changes for Luck of the Dwarves coming in. It'll tell you what was dropped, and along with this, Hazelmir's Ring will also tell you what was doubled, going back to that elephant in the room.
And they're going to fix it. So that's good.
What do you mean, fix it?
It doesn't work in God of Worth.
Right. They had to, They had to hot fix it, so it didn't work there. There was some bug. They didn't tell us what it was, though. So it's probably pretty bad.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Invention Batch 2 is releasing in September.
More unfinished business.
Yeah. And along with this, also coming in September, the achievement system. They say there's going to be a slight delay due to some critical bugs. Coming out, quote, very soon, in quote, the next few weeks.
And we have the raffle in September. September's going to be a big month.
Yeah, we'll talk about the raffle after. Looks largely the same. There was a talk about a potential skilling supply and PVM rebalance. That's not on the agenda right now. But what they are looking at doing with this is having future drop tables, not necessarily have as many skilling supplies there, and if they are going to be putting those skilling supplies in those drop tables, they will be extremely mindful of what they're dropping.
That's what they do.
So
I thought of you when I heard that. Right. I was like, all right. Well.
And this is my same kind of idea for the best bang for the buck and doing things that have a symbolic gesture, kind of like the high-level mining and smithing update. You know, It is definitely not feasible with only one game balancer, Mod Timbo, to go through all of the PVM drops, all of the Slayer drops, and remove, you know, skilling items from there and expect to return them to have some GP value to be absolutely as equally worthwhile. It's just not feasible to have one person do that. And it's probably not feasible to have it happen in one go either. That would be a huge undertaking. So in much the same way I think they can score a win with the high-level mining and smithing update, I think they can also score a win with folks like myself here when it comes to future drop tables, not having as many skilling supplies in there and being more mindful about that. Plus, there will be more revealed at RuneFest. They say they want to talk about the next 5 years of skilling, specifically skilling diversity and how to increase the value of skilling GP-wise. They say Crystal Chinchampas did it for a little bit, just like the rune value improvements did. So that's going to be an interesting talk to watch at RuneFest. There was also some random oddball question asked about Karamjin God content that was talked about back in 2013. That content is still potential in the future, but they're unsure if they should just release the content or tie it to something larger in Karamja. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Mod Shani has been tasked with a clan rework. It's not going to be a permission rework. It's not going to be a massive project. But something clan related will likely come next year from one of his TAP project, which of course is the projects that people at Jagex can work on in their own personal time. So,
can I just say Mod Shani is a badass? I mean, he really is.
Yeah, the he's fact a fine young he's, man. Covering in on the whole community side of it and now the clans. That's a good thing because I know the clan community definitely wants to hear something positive like that. So, And the biggest thing they left off with in the stream is that next year's theme will, of course, be revealed at RuneFest. They're going to be aiming to have this theme in that they hope that something each update will hopefully touch, and it will be in a, quote, mic drop event at the end of RuneFest.
Well, it damn well better be if you say that. I mean, that's quite a big statement.
I mean, I don't think there's much anymore that could surprise me when it comes to RuneScape.
I guess not.
Like, the biggest things that ever surprised me in this game were, number one, removing the wilderness, number two, bringing the wilderness back, and number three, abandoning the expansion strategy. Those were my three biggest surprises, I think, in all my years of doing this podcast.
Really? You weren't surprised at EOC when that was announced?
No, it needed to happen.
Like, no, I totally agree, but I was very
surprised. Oh, no.
That was surprising to me.
Oh, no. No, I knew something like that needed to happen.
Huh, okay.
And plus there were a few leaks going about it about a month and a bit before it came out, so.
Oh, I guess I wasn't in the know then.
Yeah, they teased all the ability icons about a month before it was announced.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the stream. Anything else that we missed? You know, I normally don't cover these, but I figured with a focus on unfinished business, it makes sense to see if there was anything unfinished business talked about.
There's one small little thing that I just want to announce in case people didn't hear it, because I think it's really super cool and I've been waiting on it for a long time, but they are going to make a permanent gold accumulator. It's going to be 1.5 mil tokens is what they said. So that is...
So what, it'll awesome. Pick up GP as you fight, or?
Yes, it works the same as the gold accumulator right now, only it won't have that cap on it.
Okay.
It goes away. All right. I know, that's one of those little sneaky updates, Shane, that I wanted to bring up just because it's a quality of life update, but it's also an accessibility update. They just don't realize it. Because
okay,
I
that's
miss
fair.
Coin all the time. Like, I leave, if I'm doing elves, like in Priv, forget it. I never get the coin because it just blends in. So the gold accumulator is great, but I can't keep them in stock because he wants to do Dungeoneering all the time.
Right.
Not this guy.
Am I right?
Right. You know? So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up.
So 1.5 mil, did you say?
That's what they said. Now, you know, I mean, that could change, but that's what they said. That's what they reported.
Go do some Dungeoneering.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Time to start the sinkholes up again, or even right. Just double down on the thieving of the... I forget what house that is. Yes, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, so as you mentioned, Balthazar's... Balthazar. Balthazar's big raffle.
You sound like me when I left the dentist office.
Is returning on August 29th and running until October 2nd. Same rewards as last time, including Golden God Swords, War Priest Armor, and Death Touch Darts, and other prizes. Mondays will be the Golden God Sword. Tuesdays, Portable Deposit Boxes. Wednesdays, Protein Packs. Thursdays, Golden War Priest. Friday, Death Touch Darts. Saturday, Golden Barrows Part 1. And Sunday, Golden Barrows Part 2. The rarest, of course, being the Golden God Swords. So... even if you don't win, you still get a small prismatic star for each successful ticket, unsuccessful ticket. And, of course, you also get a piece of Jilly Willikers clown outfit.
Oh, Jilly Willikers.
For every five times you put a ticket in. So
that's awesome, though, because I don't have that outfit. And
okay, I don't.
And oh wow! You know what else is cool? Guess what comes out in September? The remake of It. You know?
Oh right, that horror movie.
Very cool.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Mm.
And also, apparently, you can get extra tickets if you complete a daily challenge. So, yeah.
Good deal.
So, I guess from August 24th and onward, you'll want to save all your challenges up so you have 5 of them available on the 29th. So, to do.
Oh, good idea. Good idea.
All righty. And lastly, to end this week's RS segment with something a little bit lighthearted, well, maybe depending on your perspective. The top 10 skilling pet dry streaks, a video that was put out this week. So this was, of course, put out because 1 year ago on August 22nd, we saw skilling pets released, and people's luck has varied significantly on this. I think I've got 4 pets over that time with a minimum amount of XP. So I feel really lucky.
Damn.
After watching this video. So,
yeah,
that's you know, how many skill pets have you guys got? Any?
Is it 5 for the title? I have the title, so it's like 5, I think.
Okay. So, starting off at number 10, 160,189,952 XP to get the Slayer pet.
Oh my god. At least it was Slayer, but man.
Number 9, for construction. So for number 9 for construction, 160,709,608 XP. Number 8 was for the monkey. 161,563,636 for the agility monkey.
Oh no.
Number 7, the hunter pet, of course, is the falcon. 165,116,096 XP.
No.
Number six. I don't know who this was, but it's 171,695,020 XP for the smithing pet.
Jeez.
So number 5 for the thieving raccoon, 180,468,305 XP for the thieving pet.
They made some money.
Yeah. Moving on to number 4 for the Herblar pet. This is a huge one, and I would not want to do this. 182,047,624 XP.
Oh, they lost some money.
Yes.
Ouch.
Number 3 for Bernie the woodcutting pet, 185,423,097 XP.
Oh.
And in number 2, the dungeoneering pet, 189,435,432 XP. And for number one. Someone skilled beyond 200 million XP to get the invention pet.
Oh, no. Ouch. Ouch.
So, yeah.
We're lucky.
I
would consider myself lucky. And I don't ever want to hear about, I'm 800 dry on the grind or anymore. So, no. You always feel lucky. Because we're not over 200 mil XP dry. Like, this is, could you imagine being one of those people? Oh my God. Oh.
I think you can quit at that time.
Okay, so think about that construction number and times that by a plank.
Right?
Oh.
I don't know why I called this lighthearted. It's not lighthearted. It's downright terrifying.
It is terrifying. Yeah. If you're going for jack of all trades, right?
I hope these people fed their pets in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So let's move on to the questions this week. Man, you want to read the question from Trekkie?
I can try, I suppose. Except, is this some sort of Star Trek reference right at the start?
I don't believe so.
Greetings. It is I, Trekkie, leader of Omnicron Piracy 8. Yeah, what is that?
I have no idea.
Nope. Okay, then. With the quality of life changes to Treasure Trails coming in to the game. What other quality of life changes would you like to happen with Treasure Trails? If you cannot think of one, what quality of life change would you like to see from another skill? Peace out.
You know, I think they're covering most of it with Treasure Trails. Do you guys have any ideas of what could be added to Treasure Trails in addition to the hidey holes and whatnot? Because they already updated the puzzle boxes so you can click anywhere and use your arrow keys.
Yeah, and they said they're going to add them to skilling, didn't they? Said that already?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, they've most of it's covered, eh? Those are some really cool updates for it.
And I mean, they removed the Chaos Tunnels one.
Yep, that's the top of the scoreboard there. That was amazing. Yeah.
And they did something with the Duel Arena thing too, didn't they? Where you didn't have to have a partner or something.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So Treasure Trails is probably good then. Okay.
What about another skill?
I would like to see farming. I would like to see us have a reduced disease chance at 99, 120, and 200 mil, because it just makes zero sense to have the same disease chance at those various thresholds for the skill. And I'm not talking about much. I mean, it could be, you know, in total a 5% disease reduction at 120 and a 7% at 200 mil and 3% at 99. I mean, not that much, just something that matters.
Have something you could put with the herb patch to reduce it. Like another sort of flower or something.
Oh,
like
that would be good. Because I mean, how many people plant herbs and how many herbs get diseased, right? So
exactly. Far too many herbs lose their lives.
That's right.
I gotta say I don't have a skill that I would like to see quality of life done. I mean, those are all just kinda like,
what about like a mini game like Dungeoneering?
Well, that's where I'm kind of going.
That's our next question. That's our next question.
Well, what I want to see quality of life in is questing. They could make my life a lot better, a lot easier, had they make a few little changes to quest. So
I assume you're referring to accessibility regarding eyesight and whatnot.
Yeah, even for people that might be interested in the lore, but they don't want to read everything all the time, and you don't want to want a space bar, like, just give us some kind of, like, I don't know, like a screen read or something, anything.
Yeah, like a text to speech.
Right. So basically, you're saying you'd like some kind of thing, so it's not necessarily voice acted, but just basically read aloud. So
yes, I would be so happy with that. Oh my god, I would send them a love letter. I mean, I don't even know.
See, if the game was only in English, that might be easy to do. But you got to remember, there's French, German, Dutch, and Portuguese, I think.
Yeah, but they all speak English except for maybe Portuguese. I don't know about them, but everyone else speaks English too, right?
Mm.
I mean, the Americans are the only people that aren't taught multiple languages in school.
The Americans are the people that aren't taught.
Everyone else is cultured and get to learn this stuff. You know, the rest of us, I mean, I'm over here, you know, reciting Rosetta Stone, like, Te amo retinis. You know, like.
But yeah, no, that'd be a great idea. I'd love that. That would actually get me into questing a bit more, because the walls of text.
Come on, have you say RSVNB update?
Yeah.
Wee wee.
Wee wee wee.
All right. What's your quality of life fix, RRMN?
For a skill? Oh, nah, I can't think of anything for a skill, really. Yeah. Oh, no, actually, yeah, the mining and smoking rework. Just, but we've talked about that enough.
All right, fair enough. Thank you, Trekkie. The next one is from Thieves. It's a two-parter. So number one, with Shattered Worlds getting in the much-needed anima boost, what other mini-games would you like Jagex to update? And what would you do about these mini-games to make them more successful? Number two, the Metaphos reputation system is still universally loathed. Do you think it's worth Jagex's time to sort the reputation mess out? What rewards would you add to the reputation system to make it feel more worthwhile? Cheers, guys. So a bit of a two-parter there. Mini games that need to be updated.
Oh, I'd love if they went back and did something to pest control, because that used to be my favorite mini game back in the day.
Do people still play that if it's not on Spotlight?
I'm sure that
anything that ain't on Spotlight.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that pest control, though, it was one of those. So many people played it back in the day, so I'm sure you could find a world.
There are some people that would play pest control because Void is. I think
Void is still a pretty good piece.
Well, especially for an Iron Man.
Right.
It probably needs to be rebalanced. And
They just did a rebalance not too long ago when they updated the graphics, didn't they? I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't added Superior.
So they made it harder, or, you know, did they do that, or was it just the graphics?
I think they did do some quality of life changes to it, but I can't remember what exactly they were.
Last time I played it, it was just, you know, way too easy. There was no challenge to it anymore, like there used to be.
Right.
I think it was probably ever since EOC, so I wouldn't mind if they added like maybe an extra boat, like a hard mode.
Right, but you got to get people to go there and do it. And I think this is just in general a question that needs to be answered throughout the game. What is a mini game, and what role does a mini game fill? And how do we get people to play these mini games?
From my point of view, I think we need to not ask so much like what mini game would we improve. And they mentioned this on the stream even. I think we need to ask, what minigame do we get rid of entirely? Mm-hmm. Is there one? Yeah. Just to axe it, because they talk about that.
Mobilizing armies? Mm-hmm.
I actually have
something I'd like to see for mobilizing armies. I'd like to see mobilizing armies removed from RS, but I would like to see it come back to life in its own game. I would like armies to become the RuneScape MOBA, like Heroes of the Storm or League of Legends.
That would be awesome. And I think they're going to have to get to a point to where the mini games are, you're going to have to don't worry about your rewards. You have the spotlight, and that's as good as it's going to get. You can't do anything else, or it's overpowered. And anything under that, and it's not rewarding enough to play. So I think you have to focus on fun, having fun, doing something with your friends, make it social, make it fun. Like, I will still do, what's the one that it's just an all out free for all war? I'm losing it right now, but
Stealing Creation. You know,
it's got the two gods and the avatars, and you just
Soul fight. Wars.
Soul Wars, yes. I still play Soul Wars because it's fun. I just think it's fun. I think that's what they need to focus on. And if you want to improve mini games, focus on it being fun. Because let's face it, a lot of them are. It's just, I don't really have that good of a time on some of them.
I think mini games are the thing that probably suffer most from like Treasure Hunter, because all the rewards you could get from a mini game, you know, sort of go to Treasure Hunter. So I think that's where I stand.
Right,
sort of
yeah. We've had that discussion before, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some of the most fun community events I've ever been to and run have been Fishing Trawler, Castle Wars, and Trouble Brewing. Just because those events, you know, are separated a bit from the game, but they still use various in-game mechanics. And at the time, they provided something very novel for the skills of fishing, combat, and cooking, and basically, I think, thieving was the other one for Shattered Worlds, Trouble Brewing. So
it's just kind of sad that the spotlight didn't really work, because it seemed like a really good idea.
Yeah.
So maybe they could just add a few more things to the things you can get with those tickets, or, you know, just little things. Because there's probably not a massive thing they can do if that didn't work.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it.
And I think the better question to ask is, how do you pull someone away from an XP rate of numerous hundreds of thousands of XP per hour to go spend an hour at Castle Wars and not get that kind of XP reward?
There you go. Maybe Maybe you could just go in each of the mini games and just add a little bit of XP you get every time a game finishes. You know, like a fishing trawler, you get some fishing experience. You know, just a little bonus.
I mean, I think that would be helpful, but I also, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking of it like this. You can't. You can't compete with the XP rates. So you have to go in a completely different direction. Like, that's not going to be what draws people away. You have to go in a different direction. You can't draw people away with XP. You could do it. I mean, I know we are becoming more insular as time has gone on, but if you could make it more of a social thing, maybe clans could step up and do more events hosted around maybe Jagex.
We have tried doing clan events, and you know, clan events aside from peer social events typically don't work.
I know. I'm, you know, I'm in one too, and it's just. But I feel like you have to be, you can't compete with something on its terms. Like, you can't compete with Priv on XP. You know what I mean? Like, and we're all so dialed in and so efficient at what we do. You would have. I mean, the only way to make it more than that, it would be overpowered. So you would have to. You have to come at it from a different angle.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It's definitely something that needs to be done. And you just have to look and see how desolate these mini games are. And perhaps this should be elevated to unfinished business at some point.
Well, we do want the business to get finished at some point, right?
Maybe it's just going to stick there at 80%. 80% finished.
80%. You know, your toilet will flush, but the paper won't go down. But,
that's okay. Scrape it off the edges.
Yeah, you know.
All right. Manifo's reputation, still universally loathed. You know, I think that for the sanity of people who need to get through Manifo's to do it for requirements and whatnot, they definitely should look at adding some other kind of thing out there in addition to the soul obelisks that, you know, just it.
Maybe just like, have a few, what do you call it? I've gone blank. Have a couple of reputation boosts at the different levels in between. Did they do that already?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, just a small, like 10%, maybe when you get to the fifth level, or, you know?
Yeah, that would be good, something like that. Because, I mean, I don't think we're going to see a huge boost the same way we saw a huge boost to Shattered Worlds, but...
No, I don't think it needs it, to be quite honest.
Okay.
You know what I would like...
Not a huge one, sorry.
Well, what I would like to see, and, I mean, I guess you guys could balance this however you wanted. You could make it... Pick what number you want, but this is what I would like to see. The quest, you get a tier bump, pop.
Yeah.
I mean, the first quest, if you say you go in there at tier one, you do the first quest, boom, you're at tier two. I mean, there should be something more meaningful with those quests, because that is so much of the Menophos. I mean, it's so much of the lore and the story, and you don't get hardly anything from it. Well, and yeah. it would still be like, what, there's three quests, four quests?
Four.
So, I mean, it would only be like...
Many quests?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking maybe...
Or if you do 10 city quests, you get a bump.
Yeah, just something. I think there should be something for that.
There you go. You could just combine our two ideas, and maybe you get a little percentage boost when you finish the first quest, you know, and the second quest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that could do it.
Yeah, that would be good. And rewards to the reputation system... You know, it wasn't really a reputation system because there's only a few cosmetics along the way. I think that if this was a true reputation system, you would have rewards from each of the various four districts focused on their skills, and they might be add-ons that you could put on your pickaxe, for example, or your fishing rod, you know, just as a couple examples, and they might provide you with some other benefit in the game. Granted, yes, they would be focused around, you know, the mid-level stuff, but there's nothing to say that there's no way through skilling in Menophos you can expand it out to tier 70.
And you know what? Maybe, and maybe we can't do that with Menopause because Menopause was never supposed to be this, but maybe in the future with the reputation system, if it's ever implemented again, you have a sliding scale of your XP rates that instead of saying this area is a mid-level hub, okay, well maybe at tier 5 it's mid-level, but maybe at tier 8 it's towards the upper end of your XP rates. The same mechanic, but you're actually making it viable for everybody.
Oh, or you could just have somewhere where you could sacrifice a bit of the XP you get for more reputation.
Yeah, that would...
That would actually be the preferred way to do it. Because you want to keep the XP you get from Menopos at a mid-level because that's how it was designed. And we already have peripheral level. So,
What do you think the chances is they'll actually do something to change it? I reckon it's quite high. They will... They'll do something to it in the future at some point.
You need to give it another 6 months to a year to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Because at that point, it's still very new content. People are experiencing it. And then if after the initial bump of people who experienced it goes down, then that's a time to look at and say, maybe what can we do in addition? So
that's fine with me. It'll take that long to do Livid.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So it is.
All right. Well, there's a few good ideas, and thank you, Thieves, for that question. If you guys want to send your own questions in, the forum topic is at update.rsbnb.com/ask. 571-572-2632 is the number you can call, which is 571-57BNB. And we also take direct messages on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to send in those voice messages. We want to hear your lovely voices.
Yeah, and who knows, you could become famous just like this guy did doing his own version of the theme song. All right, so moving on to tech news this week. We got a heavy Android focus with Android 8 Oreo being released on Monday with the solar eclipse. You got to wonder how much Google paid Nabisco to use the Oreo name and specifically the Oreo cookie on the website. So Android Oreo claims to be 2 times faster, focusing in on reducing background activity to conserve battery life. Also, new notifications is showing badges on your icons to see what exactly apps are requesting your attention. Because apparently you guys didn't have that before.
Yeah, we didn't?
I don't know. That's what I saw on here. Also, autofill remembering your online logins, which of course I guess makes sense if you have all your passwords stored with Google.
I just have LastPass.
Yeah, that works. Picture-in-picture mode. Let's see, what else have we got? Yeah, see notification dots to quickly see what's new, and then you can clear them by swiping away.
Oh. Yeah, I sort of thought I already had something like that on the Samsung, because the Samsung overlay is a bit different. So
Okay, of course.
Maybe I do have that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and see, that's one of the things I really dislike about Android is that you can have a Samsung phone and it looks entirely different than it does on a Google phone. Mm.
I really hope they bring out a Google Pixel that's like a mid-range version.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's really
Google Pixel is going to be a high-end device, and that'll.
Yeah.
I think that's slotted for October. They're also bringing out something called Google Play Protect, which is basically app protection. They scan over 50 billion apps a day on the Play Store to ensure that they're not doing anything malicious. As I mentioned, background stuff with battery savings. And also they got rid of the old-fashioned blob emojis and just made... It's made, I guess, what looks like more conventional emojis now. So I still prefer my iOS emojis.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's just nice. Yeah. Are you a big fan of Oreos, you guys?
No, I hate them.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh.
I like them.
I get jealous of all those different flavors you guys have over in the... over in your parts of the world, we only get like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberries pretty much.
But the Halloween orange ones? Yes.
Oh, that's news to me. That's news to me. I didn't know there were different flavors of Oreo.
Well, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, no wonder you don't like them. Jeez.
Yeah. You just stuck to the normal originals, Shane. Come on, get out there.
Some other features include adaptive icons, downloadable fonts, integrated printing support, notification snoozing, pointer capture.
Cool.
Allows the app to capture all mouse input. You can connect a mouse to an Android device. That's new to me.
Huh.
And tooltips as well. So, okay. I'll just say then that I'm happy with what I see is coming with iOS 11.
Yeah, okay. You had to bring it up, even though this is an Android topic.
Right, but I mean, this doesn't convince me to use an Android.
I don't think anything will. The chances of you going to Android are just like mini games being popular again.
All right. Well, we do have another Android-related story here. Samsung has made the Galaxy Note 8 official. Of course, you guys will remember that last year the Galaxy Note 7 was the phone that was exploding everywhere, which we had a good amount of fun with on this podcast.
It was on fire.
The feature of this one is actually going to freeze. It's going to freeze on you.
That'd be really funny if that was the case.
It's gotten too cold and shut off.
Anyways, it looks like a really sleek device. Comes with, of course, a stylus. The fingerprint reader has been moved to the back of the device.
I find that weird, eh?
You
try to phone with that on it, it seems really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't like back fingerprint reader. I think that would be a deal breaker for me if Apple ever did such a thing. The Note 8 is going to be 6.3 inches, and it's the first dual camera design that Samsung had. So, of course, that's kind of like what the iPhone 7 Plus does with multiple cameras to capture a wide angle and then a telephoto lens. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of picture quality comes off this. In the U.S., this phone is going to have a Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 chip, and internationally it's going to have a Zenyos 8895, and the display resolution is the same as the S8 at 2960 by 1440 with an OLED screen, so it's going to be a very good-looking screen. 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, including a micro SD card slot. Of course, that's why people like Android phones, is you can update the storage with micro SD.
That is one of the key features.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see how many of these sell.
Why is there a different chip, Shane, for US?
I don't know. Only thing I can think of is that it might come down to regulation in the different areas, because the EU is pretty strict with regulation.
So. Oh, maybe they're NSA approved chips or something.
Come back tours in them.
I don't see anything on here about battery life, but. They'll be on sale starting September 15th. Pre-orders are opening up on August 24th. So, but the price is going to be absolutely high on this, focusing in at 999 euros or roughly 900 US dollars.
What?
Yep.
Whew.
So this is Samsung's premium smartphone.
That's some hot price.
With a screen that you can't afford the data to actually watch, right?
I mean, well, of course, in the US. Everywhere else you should be fine, though.
Yeah, right.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see if we're back in a month talking about any exploding Note 8s or any freezing Note 8s. All right. So our next piece of news here focuses in on something that CNN and NBC are doing, and they are launching their own daily news shows on Snapchat. So starting on 4 days ago, August 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern, CNN launched their own daily news show. Basically, the idea behind this is that it's going to run once per day, and it will show you all of the news of the day that CNN wants you to see. It'll be about 3 minutes long, It'll have video and nice. B-roll and accompanying links to the various news stories. CNN's show doesn't have any specific anchors for it. It's just going to be using curated content from everything that was recorded at CNN the previous day, whereas NBC actually has their own anchors for this edition of the show. So this is very interesting. It's not because it's CNN and NBC. It's because this is a new and emerging use for Snapchat, considering that we've talked about before how low Snapchat's value has gone and what the future of Snapchat's going to be. Well, it seems as though that people wanting to use Snapchat as a platform, so CNN and NBC, combined with their ads, are actually something that is going to generate revenue for Snapchat here. But neither CNN, NBC, or Snapchat wanted to share any info on what the revenue was going to look like for this. It's a pretty big investment, especially for NBC. NBC is apparently dedicating 30 full-time employees for its Snapchat news program. 30.
Ready for prediction? Big, fat fail coming. Decisions like this, someone behind a board... This is a board meeting with a bunch of old white guys going, what are the kids into? My granddaughter does this Snapchat thing. Okay. Because they didn't get in on YouTube. When it comes to the mainstream CNN and NBC like that, they don't compete when it comes to the internet. They don't. And the people that are watching that kind of news are watching either Hurricane very Harvey progressive
what
shows.
It sounds like.
As it bears down on the Texas coast, this is a monster storm. Category 3 hurricane barreling toward the U.S. coastline, gaining strength with every passing hour. Harvey is expected to make landfall overnight, and when it hits, it is projected to be the most devastating hurricane to hit the U.S. in 12 years.
More than 17 million people are under hurricane and tropical storm warnings at this hour.
And the biggest concern for this...
Till the next one.
And then, here's the ad for Apple Music. And then after the hurricane story, there is a military story as well. So as you can see, that's kind of what's going on here. I mean... Okay.
I just don't think people will listen to it. I feel like they're already in their bubbles. And... it's just not gonna work.
Yeah, like
it's a little bit too late.
I mean, I have the app, but I'm not like a Snapchat user. I have
it. Oh, add me, Shane. Add me.
Really? Okay.
I want to see what you had for lunch.
Like I said, I'm not a user of it. I just have it to keep up with what Snapchat is doing with it. But I think you guys are entirely right. You know, if the best way of pioneering content like this would have been to get in on YouTube, pop out, you know, 2 to 3 minute videos every few hours on YouTube and go with that. Even do the same thing on Twitter and Facebook. I'm not sure exactly who here is going to benefit, CNN or Snapchat more. Maybe none of them. But I will say at this point that Snapchat definitely needs a success. So...
now, do their broadcasts disappear like a regular Snapchat? Because that might be a good thing.
No, because once you watch it, you can watch it again.
Man, I sense the burns.
Because, right? Well, I'm not a fan of CNN either, but I think it's interesting that they have the money to throw at this, that they're doing it. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't hate CNN or anything. I don't think they're fake news or anything. I just think that they're on one side... people don't trust them on the other side. People think they're corporatists. So I don't think there's any way for them to win, and they're not going to get the kids nowadays.
Yeah.
Happen.
Here's the thing with this. So far, there's 25 series on Snapchat with more than 200 episodes, 88 million unique users, but so there's 88 million unique users who have watched these, right?
Really?
But that's only 22 million hours of content consumed. So 1/4 of the amount.
Oh, okay.
So basically what this means is for each million user out there, someone is only consuming 15 minutes worth of content on this app.
Maybe that's because it's Snapchat.
Yep.
And it's meant for little bites of chat, you know, yeah. Like Snapchat.
A little snap.
How do they get these jobs? Come on, someone give me a job like that. I'll go and I mean, like, I don't know.
That's bubble money. Snapchat is a pure bubble company that was started with the ability, you know, to just get money out of, you know, the classic Silicon Valley venture capitalist fund network. And based on that, they had all this growth and they got big enough that they can IPO. But as you can see, when it comes time to actually focus on what's going on here, the actual numbers that they have aren't that great. So,
yeah, I mean, if I don't know if I'm Snapchat, you know what I'm doing? Well, actually, I don't know this because I am not a 23-year-old chick at a bar, but whatever they're into, that's what you need to do, because the only time I've ever had been on Snapchat is when someone's like, ah, let me take a picture. Like, that's it. I mean, that's who uses it. just saying.
Yeah, very popular in the college age range, I think. All right. Well, that's it for tech news. We're going to move on to other things, specifically the skill of the month update. We'll just have a quick look at this because it's, you know, the same as it was last week. Jam Andy 52 no in first place with 67 million XP, X-Blades in second, Parnassius in third. It's also worth noting, though, that our signups for the September skill of the month are up, which is summoning. And we're back to that old thing where whenever it's double XP weekend, it is time for a summoning skill of the month. That happened a lot in 2013 and before, but it hasn't happened since then. So here we are, summoning skill of the month. First time since March of 2013.
Wow. So, okay, how do you actually select it, Shane?
100% random.
I just imagine you're there rolling a few dice, getting those D20s out.
That's effectively what it is. It's just a random dice roll. With the limitation that any of the skills in the last 3 months can't be chosen.
Very good, very good. So sign up, guys.
And the only past times we have rigged it were for the 120 Slayer and any time a new skill comes out.
Very good.
So. All right. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Tanis has an article out called Unfocused Business, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com. And I think most of what you were talking about in the article has made its way into this podcast as well. So
it actually, yeah. Funny how that works out.
Yeah,
it's almost like I'm a psychic or something.
Yeah, give this a read if you want to get a high-level summary of what Tanis talked about on this podcast at informer.rsbnb.com. I definitely think we had some good discussions this week pertaining to the business at hand. So,
yep, even if it is unfinished or unfocused.
Yeah. Unfinished business, I think, is what you guys were saying. But we only have a couple achievements this week by comparison to last week, so I'll just read through these. Panda in Love got 99 Constitution on the 24th. CompSci with 99 Invention on the 23rd, Link V, 99 Fishing on the 22nd, Mama Mystic with 99 Strength on the 21st, and Jesse Pinkman with 200 million Divination XP on August 20th. Congratulations to everyone.
Congratulations.
I'd also like to point out that 200 million Divination is very close to the release date of when Divination came out in 2013. Yes, it is actually the exact date, August 20th, 2013. So I have these days sometimes where I look at the date and I see it's a certain date, right? Last time this happened was August 20th. And I thought, okay, this day is important for something. Why is this day important? And then later on in the evening, I realized, aha, Divination came out on this day in 2013. So I kind of have little brainwaves like that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw this year, I realized that as well. So congratulations on getting 200 million Divination XP 4 years after the skill came out. So what, well, that's roughly 50 million XP a year.
That is a lot of Divination.
Yeah. And not to mention the money you can make from that now, specifically with the Wilderness Divination.
Yes. I wonder how they're going at the moment. I know they dropped off a bit, but yes, it is quite a good skill for making money.
It is up there, and you just have to make sure you don't get PvP'd. But,
yeah, making or saving, either way.
All righty. Does anyone have a pick of the week this week? Tannis?
Game of Thrones.
Is that the pick of the week?
That's no my, spoilers.
That's my pick of the week.
All right.
No, I would never. No.
Has the new season started?
Season finale is on Sunday, and it has been an incredible season. Anybody that's a fan, you got to catch up and watch it.
Is this the final season?
This is not. This is season 7. 7 episodes. Next year or whenever the next season is.
Did you hear that news?
No.
It might be coming out in 2019. That would be a horrible wait.
And we still don't have Winds of Winter from George yet either. So, I mean, you can't even hold yourself over with a new book, but oh, well, it's been a great season. So I have to give props and plug. I mean, it's a great season every season, but this year's been cool.
Isn't this the show where they constantly kill the main cast off?
Yep. Anybody's on the table.
There's no one is safe in George's world, so that's what makes it cool.
All right.
You just never know.
Yeah, I've never watched the show. It didn't really seem like a time period I'd be interested in, but...
If you're not interested in time period, there's also really hot chicks, and so there's that.
That's not going to convince Shane.
Oh, well, I mean, whatever.
There's dragons.
There's dragons, yeah. Well, then, you know.
So the sense I'm getting is that Game of Thrones could essentially be a mature-rated RuneScape live-action roleplay, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. That would get you.
With a little more political intrigue.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Shane would enjoy it. You should give it a go one day.
Maybe an episode. We'll see.
It is slow going there, so at the start. Lots of characters.
Yeah, at the start, but it's cool, and I don't know. I like it. You know, there's just really, the characters you just really can, connect with. I love Daenerys and Jon, and I like Jon because of his character, not for why my mom likes Jon. Stop. But yeah.
So. All right, so that's Game of Thrones. Looks to be on HBO. I'm not sure where foreigners can watch it.
Oh, you know, the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Netflix then? Or...
Yeah, something like that.
All right, I think I get what you're going after then.
I think most countries will have it on the TV somewhere because it's is this actually our pick of the week? Because I think nearly everyone in the world watches this except for Shane.
I only know on my hands of one or two people that actually watch this. So, I mean, it could well be a pick of the week.
I don't know. It sure is.
Give it a go.
All right. Someone's name is apparently Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
He's cool. Everybody's cool. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's so intriguing. Do you read very much, Shane? Are you into that?
Not much fiction, no.
Okay, because I got into the show. I'd read the books all before that, and it's different. But those are very, very good too. I mean, if you can handle 1,200 page book, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh boy! All right. Yeah.
They're meaty.
Well then, thank you for the pick of the week, Game of Thrones. We will encourage people to watch that on HBO. So
exactly.
What have you guys been up to this week on RS? Let's start with you, Tanis.
I've been doing some Shattered Worlds, and this weekend I'm doing the Heat Wave with the junior account. And a little bit of bossing, trying to make a little bit of money before our double XP weekend, because I had to put some stuff up at the pawn shop, you know, to get some supplies, and I would like to get it out of the pawn shop soon, while the price is still down and I don't get, you know, killed on it. So.
Right. And, you know, on that, I guess I'll just go and then I'll let our man go last. I have been doing the same thing, money making and whatnot with rune crafting, herb farming, of course, and a little bit of a note out there for anyone that's looking for one. Luck of the Dwarves ring is now back down below 40 million. So
nice.
Yeah. But aside from that, just the beach and Shattered Worlds this week. So, yeah. Anything else, Tanis?
Nope, that's all I've been doing.
Okie dokie. How about you, Mr. R Man?
Oh, you know, cranking out that 120 woodcutting still. I've finally got to about 40 mil to go.
Oh, nice.
Still no pit. Oh, so keep working on that. And yeah, or the beach. Heading the beach with the heat wave. That's always good. Got a few tokens while we've been recording, actually.
Oh, nice. What are you doing for your woodcutting?
Crystal trees mostly, but I jump over to Menophos and do the trees for some, and you know, do the
crystallizing them.
No, I was looking into that. I think I'd rather for now. I'd rather just chop them down and you know, convert them for invention, because I'll. At the end of the day, I'll have so many simple parts, I'll never need to do it again.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what you cool. say, but you don't know what's coming out with batch two. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have you tinkered with the golden bamboo? Because I did that for a few competitions and did pretty well with it.
I should head back to the Ark and check it out again. I think I had an island with two golden bamboos and the farming one.
Okay, so. The mushrooms. Oh.
Nice. Yeah, so that was
That's actually another thing I'm doing. I'm looking for an island with two golden bamboo and two fishing spots.
Oh yeah, well, get back over there.
Yeah,
I do enjoy that. I do enjoy the little mini solo islands.
Yeah, yeah, and I do too. You know, if you're doing that, you always got to have a flag in your bank just in case it's a really good one. You want to keep it.
Yeah, don't forget that. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I believe that finishes this episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you for being here, the both of you. It was a great show. And to the listeners out there, we'll see you next week as we get ready for September.
See ya.
Peace out.